I love coffee, I love tea. I love the Java Java and it loves me. My coffee and tea and the Java and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
That was most pleasing. All right. We have now, wow, we're going to see someone again that we've already seen tonight in tonight's show. That would be Becky and Joey are going to do a little song with the auto harp. Does everyone remember the auto harp?
Sarah C. is also going to help us. I wanted to introduce to you the auto harp. I don't know a lot about it, but this is an antique auto harp that was given to me, and I'm just learning how to play it. And one way that you can play it, I know, is to hold it up like this and strum. And the other way that I've been doing is to put it down, and you can play it with, a rhythm. Or like a harp. And we're going to kind of get you in the mood for the coffee house tonight by having the two ladies here lead you in a couple of their favorite songs. And we'll let, who's first? And we're gonna ask you all to sing along, so sing loud.
Our first song is the B-I-B-L-E. And we will sing only the two verses. Please join us in singing.
Let's see, I'm slow at this.
B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E.
The next song will be He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. We're going to sing four verses. The first, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. Second, He's Got the Little Bitty Baby in His Hands. The third verse will be He's Got You and Me, Sister. And the fourth verse will be He's Got You and Me, Brother.
He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He's got you, little bitty baby, in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hand. He's got you and me, sister, in his hand. He's got you and me, sister, in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got you and me, brother, in his hand. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
Since it is Women's History Month, instead of saying Father Abraham had many sons, we will say Father Abraham had many girls.
See, and we're sure that he did, probably, but no one ever mentioned all of his daughters. And this might involve some active participation. Do you know Father Abraham?
Yes.
Yeah, one. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. C, G7. Let's see. Okay.
Father Abraham had many sons, and many girls had Father Abraham. I am one of them. So are you. So let's all praise our Lord. Right arm. Father Abraham had many sons, and many girls had Father Abraham. I am one.
of them, and so are you. So let's all praise our Lord. Right arm, left arm, Father Abraham had many girls, and many girls had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot. Father Abraham had many girls, and many girls had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot, left foot. Father Abraham had many girls, and many girls had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot, left foot, chin up. Father Abraham had many girls, and many girls had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot, left foot, chin up, turn around. Father Abraham had many girls, and many girls had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord.
Down.
The last song we will sing for you tonight is Kumbaya. We're going to sing four verses with that too. Kumbaya, and then someone's crying, Lord. I mean, someone's praying, Lord, and then someone's singing, Lord, and then someone's laughing, Lord.
Okay.
Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya, Kumbaya.
Yay. Okay, the next people up are Maggie and Amelia. Do you want me to tell them what you're doing, or do you want to just do it? They're just going to do it. They're Nike girls. And Anne. One thing, Anne.
I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here is my
handle. Here is my spout. When you boil the water, I will shout, tip me over and pour me out.
We're dedicating it to Dark, even if he's not here.
You can do it.
The name of the poem is called Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout Would Not Take the Garbage Out.
Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout would not take the garbage out. She'd scour the pots and scrape the pans, candy the yams and spice the hams. And though her daddy would scream and shout, she simply would not take the garbage out. And so it piled to the ceilings, coffee grounds, potato peelings, brown bananas, rotten peas, chunks of sour cottage cheese. It filled the can, it covered the floor, it cracked the window and blocked the door with bacon rinds and chicken bones, drippy ends of ice cream cones. Prune pits, peach pits, orange peel, gloppy clumps of cold oatmeal, pizza crust with... withered greens, soggy beans and tangerines, crusts of black burned buttered toast, grizzly bits of beefy roast, and the garbage rolled on down the hall. It raised the roof, it broke a wall.
Greasy napkins, cookie crumbs, globs of gooey bubble gum, cellophane from green bologna, rubbery blubbery macaroni, peanut butter cake, then dry, curdled milk and crusts of pie, moldy melons, dried up mustard, eggshells mixed with lemon custard, cold french fries and rancid meat, yellow lumps of cream of wheat. At last the garbage reached so high and all that it finally touched the sky, and all of the neighbors moved away, and none of her friends would come to play. And finally, Sarah Cynthia Stout said, "Okay, I'll take the garbage out." But then, of course, it was too late. The garbage reached across the state, from New York to the Golden Gate, and there in the garbage did she hate. Poor Sarah met an awful fate that I cannot right now relate, because the hour is much too late. But children, remember Sarah Stout and always take the garbage out.
Garbage is such an interesting topic. Little do people here know, but Dark got a new nickname this past week. Dark isn't here, is he? He might not appreciate this, but I think it's much more fitting for his role here in the village as garbologist. And we just went out to Seattle and Tacoma and stayed with some friends, and one person who had never met Dark before couldn't figure out why he was called Dark, since he's such a cheerful, happy, laughing sort of person. So she started calling him Dank. So anyone here who feels that that might be a more appropriate nickname for Dark, feel free to start using it. He'll recognize it from this past week. The next person up is Betsy Dreyer, and she's going to be accompanied on the piano by Gary.
I am singing a Gilbert and Sullivan song called Take Heart from the movie Pirates of Penzance.
Poor wandering one, though you have surely strayed, take heart of grace, thy steps retrace. Wandering one, poor wandering one, if such poor love as mine can
can help thee find true peace of mind. Why, take it, it is thine. Take heart, the days will shine. Take any heart, take mine. Take heart, the days will shine. Take any heart, take mine. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Poor wandering one, if such poor love as mine, take heart of grace, thy steps reach rise. Poor wandering one. Days will shine, take.
Betsy? Pirates of Penzance, it's a great movie, great play. My favorite line from it, just so you all know a little bit more about me. They all speak in this sort of English accent, which is one of my favorite things to do, among other sort of strange accents. And one of the lines that they say is, someone says something about orphan. They say something about orphan. And the other person says, when you say often, do you mean often frequently or often the person who doesn't have any family? So if you hear me start speaking in accents, you may need to ask me that later. That was Betsy Dreyer. And next we have Cersei. Is that how you say it? Cersei Dreyer, her relative, I'm assuming. Although her last name isn't Washer, which would be more like.
We're going to be singing, and I'm going to be signing to Amazing Grace.
That's going to be the end of the first set. A couple of pieces of information. One, of course, this is a non-smoking coffee house, which I've never really seen before in the outside world. So if you do feel like smoking, which you might, then please go outside to do that. Number two, There is a rack for dirty cups out in the foyer out there, so please take care of your dirty cups if you are done with them. There's a lot more coffee. What? About 10 more minutes, is that what you're sign languaging to me? 10 minutes of a break. There's going to be about 10 minutes of a break, and then we're going to have set number two. So feel free to chit-chat, read, whatever you do at a coffee house. Get more coffee, get more treats, and we'll see you in 10 minutes. The act, but it already started, so just ask that if you are planning to perform, that you are certain that you are female, and that you then perform. The next part of our second set of the coffee house is primarily literary. So Jen Anderson has a little something to share with us, and she will tell you more about that when she gets up here. She's on her way up here. She's going to use the aisle that I just cleared for her for the last act.
Okay, this poem is on a much different note than the previous act. And it's from Earthwitch by Anne Cameron. And it's called, "This Poem is for All the Women Doing Dishes." This poem is for all the women doing dishes, 3 times a day, 7 days a week, over and over again. This poem is for all the women doing dishes, 3 times a day, 7 days a week, over and over again. It must be said gently, gently, that she may not be startled. Not be startled. She must not be startled. She may drop and break a dish. It must be said gently, and that she not be startled and break a dish. This poem is for all women washing floors over and over again, washing and waxing, polishing and buffing, stripping off wax and washing over and over again. Washing floors and waxing over and over again. This poem is for all the women doing housework over and over again. It must be repetitious. Over and over again. And boring. Over and over again. My sisters, over and over again.
That was Jennifer Anderson. That was Jennifer Anderson. That was Jennifer Anderson. And the next performer we have is someone who knows quite a lot about doing housework over and over and over and over and over and over again. Because people in this village are messy. I don't know if you realize that, but from former head housekeeper status, I know. And so does Heather. And so does Heather.
Well, I don't know about tonight. It's just one of those interesting women-devoted nights, and I happened to be strolling into the women's bathroom just a few minutes ago, and lo and behold, there's a man in the bathroom. I'm like, wait a minute, this is our territory! But, Winard Holden has been a really great experience for me. I think it's done a lot to draw me out of myself, because most people don't believe it, but I didn't used to talk as much as I do now. See, they will laugh at me. But I still do have my moments of peace and quiet and solitude and holding up in my room with my door shut. And we don't have any locks in the doors at Holden, which is nice sometimes. So I have this little piece of iron that goes in front of the door that it'll take some doing to get in there. But anyway, I do a lot of poetry, and this is like the first time for me that I've ever actually shared it out in the open with a bunch of people, so I don't know. It's kind of strange. But also, my room is the attic of Shelley One, and I have clear view from my little window all the way down the whole village. And it's been a really good treat for me to be able to sit in my room and, you know, all hours of the day and night and watch people go by and watch it snow or be sunny. And so some of my poetry is a reflection of that, of my watchings. This first one is called Warrior of the Winds. And actually, this one took place in my mind when I was up at the top of Cloudy Pass, and it had been a very long morning hiking up there, and it was worth it. It's very beautiful, and just the pass is these wonderful fields, and it's in between these peaks that are just snow-covered year-round, and every time I've been up there, there's been, you know, an eagle and its mate soaring, and so this is dedicated to the eagles. I heard your death cry, O fearless warrior of the winds, a sharp contrast to the morning's solemn stillness. Sailing on gilded wings of gold, each fleck of sunlight dancing upon your back. You rise like the great temples of the world, high and unreachable. Then drop forever downward to reach and grasp for life as hot-blooded as your own, or as cold as the water from which it came. Life feeding life feeding life. The dancing circle continues on. This one is untitled. O moonlit night upon our earth, your soft glow illumines the village. Trees with snow, mountains sheathed in mist, footprints on the walk. O goddess, good and fair, your daughter earth is singing. Soft breezes on my face, snow dust in the air, fragrance of pine. O creator of friendship and love, your walk of happiness joins my steps. Dancing shoes in the hall, kisses in the night, a warm embrace, peaceful sleep. And yet, at Holden, we are, in some ways, we are really set apart from the world. And I was just out on an out for a couple weeks. And it really, you know, the real world kind of struck me in the face. And I have been very fortunate up here and very sheltered. At one point in time in my life, I was an extreme poverty case and was pretty much on the street. And that was not a happy experience for me. And the other night, I was remembering that. And I wrote this one called Poverty. Cement wall of poverty, how you reflect my mood in a spectrum of painted colors. Cold and cruel, you grip my life with an unclenching talon. Your murder comes slowly with a deep, burning ache in my belly that eats from the inside out. Release me, you fiend! Take off your powerful hold and let me live in peace. I am unworthy of such torment. I have done you no wrong. And yet, you take my life and that of my neighbors to fill your belly of greed. This is another untitled one. The quiet stillness of the candlelit room is calming to my body. Finally, I relax, I melt into the soft warmth, and I let the day's worries drift away. Peace, blessed peace. It is so good to just be me for a while. Focus and unfocus, solitude. I love because it's what God asks of me, and I love because I want to give of myself freely and without regret. How can a blank piece of paper, a single small pen, truly reflect all that I feel within my mind, heart, soul? How can you truly know? Where is the eloquence in that? Ideas, thoughts, feelings. Drifting and flowing and flying, living, breathing, and dying. And then this one is one of my most recent ones. I was in kind of a mothering mood, I guess. It's called Come With Me. Come into my womb. It is warm. It will embrace you. Come touch my belly. Let your hand be the umbilical cord to your soul. Come lie down next to me. My sweet-smelling body will perfume your thoughts. Come, let me wipe away your tears as you drift softly downward, downward, into sleep. Thank you.
It's really wonderful for us all to hear some original works. I think that's really pretty great, and so let's... Margaret, you're going to do something of your own, aren't you? Oh, good. Then I'm saying the right thing right now. Margaret Ponder Lovejoy would like to read some of her own poetry or a story. Is that storytelling? So why don't you come on up here? and you can.
Well, for Women's History Month, I think it's appropriate to talk about women that shaped part of who I am. And although I tell stories that I like to write fiction, so it's not that I'm going to say that this woman actually existed in my life, but she's a composite of women that shaped and molded who I am. When I was a young girl, one of the best things about the neighborhood was that I could sit on my steps because I lived on a busy street and watch people go by. And I don't know, early on, maybe 4 or 5, something like that, this lady would walk down the street. And her name is Sadie. And Sadie was a big woman. And she had big bosoms that kind of held her up this way or pulled her forward, and a large rear that kind of rolled behind her when she walked down the street, commanding that you watch me walk down this street. And when she'd walk down the street, she's always going east, and 1 foot would go north and the other south. So when she walked, she really walked down that street. And the first time she saw me, she said, "Oh, little girl, them some pretty braids on your head. Who's your mama?" And it's not that she waited for an answer. And she just kind of walked on by me. Well, as the months went by, and Sadie would walk down the street. From the first time the snow was off the sidewalks in the winter, because I lived in Minnesota, till the first snow in the fall. Every morning about 10:30, 11, somewhere around there, depending on how many people she had to talk to when she was walking down the street, she would be there. Sometimes when my friends were in the yard with me, and she'd speak to me or speak to them, they'd laugh and tee-hee and ha-ha about her and say, "That's an ugly old woman." And I'd say, "She ain't ugly. That's Miss Sadie. She's a nice woman." And they'd say, "Well, that must be your grandma." And I said, "No, she's not my grandma. My grandma's a little lady, light-skinned, and she doesn't even live here." And he said, "Well, why you like her so much?" "As I just do. She's a nice woman." And sometimes she'd see him, and she'd say to him, "Are you Coralie's boy? When I lived down south, there was a woman named Coralie looked just like you. Do you belong to Coralie?" And the kids would laugh and say, no, I don't know who that is." And sometimes when she walked down, they'd laugh at her, and then I would laugh at her too. And then I'd get angry at them for laughing at her, and I'd get angry at myself for laughing at her, and kick all the kids out of the yard and say, "Get out of here, you know, I don't want to play with you anymore." And there are other days when she'd walk down the street, and I'd hide behind the lilac bushes so she couldn't see me. And I'd just watch her go by. And still there were times when she'd walk down the street, and I knew from the look in her eye that she didn't see me. There was a vision in her eye from years past, something that she was thinking of. Or her mouth would be moving like that. You know, she had stories in that mouth that she was thinking about and talking over with herself, or maybe with her maker. When she'd go to the store, in later years when I'd sometimes be in the grocery store, you know, the corner grocery stores, maybe some of you don't even remember the corner grocery stores. Well, every neighborhood had a corner grocery store. And she'd go in and she'd walk around slow in the grocery store. And she'd touch things as she walked through. Maybe pick up a can and look at it and say, "Woof, too expensive." And she'd buy maybe a can of soup or an orange, not a lot. And this one day, she's down at the back at the meat counter. And in those days, the meat was laid out on the counter and was refrigerated, and you could look through the glass at the meat. It's kind of, you know, you've hit a different era when you have to explain a meat counter to people. But some of you remember the meat counters, yes? Yeah? Okay. Not like they are now, and you just pick up a cellophane wrap package or something. Then the meat was laid out. And she'd stand there and she'd say, "Ooh,
just look at all this meat. Let's see, give me a half a pound of that ground beef. No, wait a minute. Give me one of those pork chops. Yeah, black pork. No, not that one. That's got too much fat on it. Give me that one right there. Yeah, that's a good one. Look at those beef steaks over there. One of these days, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to buy that steak. That one. Now, don't you sell that to anybody else. Just that one. Not today, but one day, I'm going to buy that one. And I'm going to take it home and I'm going to make me fry that steak up and mash some potatoes and fix green beans with some fat back and onions. Ooh, that's going to be good. But not today. Today you just give me that pork chop right there. Just one. Then she'd go over to the refrigerator where they'd keep the beer. And she'd walk up to it, but before she got there, she'd kind of look around the store to see who was in there. Because if it was any church lady, she wasn't going to touch that beer. But she'd take one bottle of beer and put it in her basket. And this one day she got to the counter, and it came to $1.29.
Oh, child, $1.29. Did you figure that right? Figure that again, because that's a lot of money. When I was down south, I could feed my whole family on 50 cents, $1.29. And the lady said, yeah, it's $1.29, Sadie. Well, she dug down into her bosom, and she pulled out her coin purse, and she counted out each coin, one at a time. And she got to 25, 26, 27. Did you say $1.27? No, it was $1.29. 28, 29. Then she closed that purse up real careful and slip it back. And she tucked it in there like she was holding the king's ransom between her breasts. When I would play house, I would get dressed up and put on all these wonderful dresses. And I'd put all the stuffing in so I'd have big bosoms too. And I'd try to stuff the coin purse down there, but everything would just fall out. Now, with Sadie, she could keep $1 million down in her top, and she wouldn't lose a dime. She'd take her groceries, and she'd go on up the street. And one of the funny things about her is I never saw her come back. I don't know which way she came back or where she ever lived, but she'd keep walking. And there's a lot of people in the neighborhood. They would just take their daily strolls. When I got older, 20 or so, and I knew Sadie had died, and I'd go home, but about 10:30 or 11 o'clock during the day, I just had that big urge to look down the street, because I knew if Sadie was coming down the street, she'd say to me,
"Ooh, child, look at those braids on your head. Your mama."
Thank you.
Thanks, Margaret. We're just about to have one more break, and then we're going to move into set number 3, which will be featuring some musical acts with Annie and Jen and Anne and A Spectacular Feat of Wonder and Pretentiousness by Emily. So, take a 10-minute break. Get some more coffee. If you're done with your coffee, remember that out in the foyer, across the street from the fireside room, there is a place, yes, across the street, it's a thoroughfare. There's a rack for your dirty cups and a sink for all of your leftover coffee. But I wouldn't waste any of that because it's free and it's good coffee. And if you go to Seattle and go to a coffee shop and ask for good coffee, they'll charge you $2 for it. So enjoy and drink up. And we'll see you in 10 minutes. Tonight at the Holden Village Coffee House, we have several musical things and one again, Act of Wonder and Pretension by Emily. And the first thing is going to be by Angie. That would be Anginap, not Angie. Are you ready? Okay. I'll just let her go. I'm not going to talk right now.
I'm nervous.
But I am. I've never done anything like this before, so that's why I'm kind of nervous.
My life flows on in endless song. A barber's lamentation. I hear the real, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear its music ringing. It sounds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? What though the tempest round me roars? I know the truth, it liveth. What though the darkness round me grows? Songs in the night it giveth. No storm can shake my inmost calm. While to that rock I'm clinging. Oh, since love rules over heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? When tyrants tremble in their fear and hear their death knells ringing, when friends rejoice both far and near, how can I keep from singing? In prison cell and dungeon vile, our thoughts to them are winging. When friends by shame are undefiled, how can I keep from singing?
Wow. Thanks, Anne. This reminds me of another thing that I want to tell you, amazingly enough. I'm just really impressed by the incredible honesty of performance that has been happening. I'm really pleased with how this coffee house is going, and it reminds me of, again, one of the coffee houses that I was in Seattle, and I want to tell you a little story about that so you can compare and contrast and do all sorts of literary things with it. We went to this coffee house, paid $2 for a cup of coffee again, as I've already told you. So appreciate, again, the free coffee here. That's very good. And there was a fella there by the name of Adam, and he was the original sinner. And he started talking to me about his life and his art and his music and his world. And he was hip. He was really hip. And he starts talking to me about all of this and says, yeah, you know, like sometimes I'm playing my music and like I'm so into it, you know, that like someone will, you know, like startle me and I'll realize, oh my God, I was just playing. Wow. I mean, that's really into music. And anyway, Adam has taught me something, and I want to tell you what that is. I've been playing the violin for about 14 years, and I never really knew this. So I'm glad to always have someone teach me something new. Adam tells me that the only way to play the violin is sitting in a sort of lounging position, putting the violin over here, and playing sort of like this. He says it's Eastern. I think that's great. I think it's wonderful. I had no idea it was the only way to play the violin after 14 years. But I just want to thank Adam here tonight for shedding light on my 14 years of misuse of the violin. Now we have a couple more musicians who probably will become so lost in their music that, like, if we startle them, they might be really surprised that they were playing. So try not to startle them. Be gentle. Try not to startle them. Be gentle. Try not to startle them. Be gentle.
The second song that we're going to play is one of my favorites to sing here because that's my key song pretty much, and it's Lean On Me, and I would enjoy it if everyone sang.
Oh, wait, I need... Okay. Do you have it? Okay. Okay. Ready?
So
Little set construction. Hold on. I forgot to say, that was Annie and Jen. Hooray! And now, in case you were wondering who was who, Jen is going to play. So by the process of elimination, can anyone tell me who Annie is? Okay. Okay, here's Jen.
The first one I would like to do is a song I wrote for my mother, and some of you have heard it before. I'm not sure which one you're all yaying for, whatever. It feels good to have yays. Okay. Mama, won't you come and hold me tonight? Put your arms around your child. I'd like to be your little girl for one last time before my feet take to flight. Mama, won't you come and hold me tonight? Mama, won't you come and hold me tonight? Mama, how's the house, that place that you call home? Are you keeping it as you like? How's the yard where we used to play till you'd call us all in for the night? How's my room? Is it still the same? Or have you made different plans? my pictures still on the wall? Or are the memories too old to understand? Mama, won't you come and hold me to? Wearing my favorite purple pants, I had a pink tree painted on my wall, and I could always hold your hand. Now I'm past 20 and I'm grown up now, I'd still like to wear those purple pants. I'd like a pink tree painted on my wall, and I'd like for you to hold my hand. Mama, won't you come? The next song I'm doing is actually a song in process, because it isn't fully written yet, so I'll be improvising the words and the chords. which sort of fits with the song, actually. The song is called Erotic Confusion. It's a cold and snowy evening. We're holding hands by moonlight. I'm getting hot, my stomach is jumping. There's a lot of erotic tension warm in this cold room tonight. I'm in a state of erotic confusion. My mind and my body just can't agree. Carter Hayward said these feelings are sacred. Well, they're so huge, how can't they be? Saying they want to kiss you, my mind is saying it's just not right. My hands are thinking they want to hold you, my body's saying I gotta get some sleep tonight. I am in a state of erotic confusion. My mind and my body just can't agree. Well, I know these two, they are connected, but my erotic self is separating. Then oh so nonchalantly, you ask me how I feel. Well, I'm tired and I'm angry. I'm confused and I'm fuzzy, and I'm joyful and I'm full of laughter, and I'm strong and I'm joyful and fuzzy and full and caffeinated and dehydrated. Amazed and about as clear as smoke. I am in a state of erotic confusion. everybody just can't agree. Carter Haywood said these feelings are sacred. Well, they're so huge, how can't they be? And of course, this leads you to another really easyable, answerable question. What do you want from me? This is pretty easy. I want a mutually empowering, empathic relationship built on honesty and love and trust and all of that other good stuff. And most of all, important is the care of all creation. And then, of course, you ask, what does this mean? I want you to leave right now, and I want you to stay by my side. Day after day after day after day after day. I don't know. I'm in a state of erotic confusion. My mind and my body just can't agree. Carter Haywood said these feelings are sacred. Well, they're so huge, how can't they be? My lips are saying I want to kiss you. My mind is saying it's just not right. My thoughts are thinking I want to hold you. My body's saying I gotta get some sleep tonight. I am in a state of erotic confusion. My mind and my body just can't agree. Well, I know these two, they are connected. But my erotic self is separating. I'm confused. Thank you very much. Well, yeah, that's my life. It's a great song. Anne, do you want to do this? Okay, we're going to do the bottle of wine song, or the dinner song, or the purple song, whatever you want to call it. The song we always do, and I'm going to really remember the words this time.
Oh, won't you have dinner with me? I said maybe sip a bottle of wine. Underneath the purple sky, well, we can dance with the moon in our eyes. You know it's been a long, long time since we've talked the language called touch. Would you like to spend some time? Well, we can dance with the moon in our eyes. Hear about your travels, all the footprints and friends we made. Did you know we spent time together when we were away? Oh, won't you have dinner with me? I said maybe sip a bottle of wine. Underneath the purple sky, well, we can dance with the moon in our eyes. Did you know that we heard the mountains as the wind crawled on our backs? Then down by Railroad Creek, well, we were holding hands. Oh, won't you have dinner with me? I said maybe sip a bottle of wine. Underneath the purple sky, well, we can dance with the moon in our eyes. I can feel your hand on my cheek now, the way you look in my eyes. Body to body, moving together till the day breaks away from the night. Oh, won't you have dinner with me? I said maybe sip a bottle of wine. Underneath the purple sky, well, we can dance with the moon in our eyes.
Wow. That was Jen, and that was Anne also, who was just up here. And in case you didn't notice, Eric was taking a few pictures. And see, okay, do that again. Just that part. You see, it's just like the Terminator. I'm a little bit concerned. Because first you see the red light flash over the face. The next thing you know, Jen's not confused anymore. The next act, an incredible act, I've been told, by the, again, wonderful, and again, pretentious, Emily, Fire Chief. Her backup will be Anne Gienapp, backup singer, backup firefighter, backup.
Well, I just wanted to take a minute tonight to show a skill, but...
Stop it!
That's really disconcerting. Holden Village, one of the things that's best about Holden Village and has certainly been... a big part of it for me is taking on tasks that you never dreamed you would, i.e. being a fire chief. I don't do those things in the outside world, so it's been quite a deal. And I've learned a lot, and I've also gained a lot of skills. And one of the main things that I need to point out is that what I'm going to do here tonight is something that no one else in this room can do. No one else in this village can do. But because I'm doing it, and because I'm a fire chief and I know these things, I wouldn't do it without a backup. And that's why I asked Anne to be here with the extinguisher. So if you're all ready, if you're all prepared, I am now going to do something that no one else in this village can do here in this room. Thank you.
Amazing. Okay, unless there's anybody else who wants to perform tonight, is there anyone else who wants to perform tonight who's pretty certain that they're female? No, I don't. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. In addition to praising me, I think it would be great, 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 to, I am. Don't be silly. Okay. A lot of people worked really hard to make this happen. People set up tables, people set up chairs, people baked wonderful things, and they made great coffee, which is free. I just want to thank everybody who made that possible, because some of you don't know, but a couple of weeks ago, just before I went to Seattle, Tom turned off the coffee maker. So we've been drinking instant coffee. But anyway, tonight we've had real coffee, and so there are some people here who are extremely appreciative of that fact, and we don't blame Tom at all. No, we don't. We really don't. No, we don't. But we do love the coffee that we've had tonight. So let's give everyone who worked on this coffee house a huge round of applause, because it's been a great night. You don't know? Can you play for that? Who's playing for the last song? Okay. Does someone know it that wants to... So you can just sing it through the first time or something? Okay. The last... Anyone... Anne, I think Jen wants you to come up here. Okay. The last thing of the night is a song that a really, really wonderful person who's coming up here on Monday... taught all of us this summer. Her name is Beth, and she's wonderful purple woman. And she sings this beautiful song at the end of anything that she ever does or anyone else ever does. And it's a great song. And so a few people here who know the words are going to sing it through. And then if we could sing it several times, because that's what Beth does, after they sing it, if everyone could join in, and maybe we'll sing it three or four times after they sing it, that would be great. Thanks.
May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way home.
Everybody,
may the long time
time a little more joyfully.
May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the
coming.
Remember, those cups go out in the foyer out across the street from the fireside room, and if you could help by moving some of the chairs back into the fireside room, that would be greatly appreciated.
You are welcome to stay and visit as long as you like. There's more coffee, so.
When you smiled at me, in my heart I felt a thrill. You see that it was love at sight, and I was right to love you as I do. Still I never dreamed that you could love me too. Your eyes are blue, your kisses too, I never knew what they could do. I can't believe that you're in love with me. You're telling everyone I know I'm on your mind each place you go. I can't believe that you're in love.